are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back, everybody. There is news a-coming. Jim Donovan along with Matt Wilhelm on this Monday on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's great to be back here in the chair along with Matt in studio. Matt back off of his July 4th experience in Mexico.
Yes.
Okay, but there is big news today.
There
friends.
Is.
The Browns training camp has been announced. The dates have been announced. And we're going to make them available to you. And, of course, you'll get them all over on ClevelandBrowns.com. But the 2015 Cleveland Browns training camp presented by Northeast Ohio Ford Dealers will feature 11 free public practices right here in Berea beginning on Thursday, July 30th, as well as free access to the team's orange and brown scrimmage, which is down in Columbus at Ohio Stadium on Friday, August 7th. So there you go. All practices here in Berea are free to the fans. You can register just like last year online and print a ticket for admission. And Browns 2015 season ticket members will have an exclusive window to register for open practices from July 14th through the 16th prior to the public's availability, which will begin 10 a.m. on Friday, July 17th. That's a very, very important date. Why? It's my birthday. Now, for the second time in as many years, the Browns have implemented a training camp registration process to help maximize each fan's experience at all of the open sessions, which, again, here in Berea, number 11. And as well, to best accommodate guests who must make travel arrangements to come here to Berea so that they have their ticket and they're ready to go and they know they're going to be able to come here. Now, you can sign up to attend practice sessions by visiting ClevelandBrowns.com or the Browns mobile app, which will also provide daily updates, including weather, and that's going to be very, very important. And registration for the Browns orange and brown scrimmage is closed as all tickets have been distributed. 60,000, right?
Yes.
Number down there.
It's impressive.
Yeah.
Less than a
couple
hours.
Yeah. Fans will have the opportunity to register for up to 3 practices in Berea, along with a maximum of 5 guests as space permits. Parties wishing to attend more than 3 practices or book for groups of 7 or more people are encouraged to contact the Browns ticket office at 440-891-5000. So not including Family Day, the Browns' 13 open training camp practices in 2014 set the third highest combined attendance since 2005 with a total of 43,740 fans who represented 40 states plus Washington, D.C., and attendance for 12 of those sessions eclipsed 3,000, while only 11 practices surpassed that mark from 2005 to 2013. So again, first day on the field for open practices, July 30th. I really can't wait. I don't know. There's something about training camp that I think is great. Maybe it's that they're undefeated at that point. Anyway, let's go to Tampa right now. Scott Smith, the senior writer for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at Buccaneers.com, joins us, which is an exciting time down in Tampa because of Jameis Winston, ready to be the quarterback. Scott, it's great to have you on. Thanks very much for coming on Cleveland Browns Daily.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here.
Is it exciting down there getting ready to unveil Jameis Winston?
It is. And, you know, we're still undefeated as well. So this is that time of year when
that's what we, you know, Buccaneers and Browns, that's the boat we're in right now.
Man, how hot is your guys' training camp? Because ours starts about the same time and it's just brutal.
It is. You know, it's last year, it's funny, Scott, it varies. Some years it can be kind of cool weather.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember last year. All I can remember last year, Scott, and I'm sure this is going to happen at the Bucs training camp this year, and Matt can back me up on this, is that when you drove up, it was a city of satellite trucks here because of Johnny Manziel.
Yeah.
So are you expecting that? Are they preparing for that there?
Yeah, we are expecting to get a lot of attention for that reason. And you're right about unveiling them. That's the fans' first shot to really see him up close in a Bucs uniform. Obviously, we've seen him on the practice field for a while now until they just finished with the mini camp, and that's been exciting. And we've shown him as much as we can on the website. But, yeah, I think the fans are really looking forward to that opportunity.
And, Scott, based on you know, what you've seen and the recent comments by Rondé Barber talking about that Jameis Winston has a gunslinger mentality, is that your key takeaway from Jameis Winston from what you've seen him in practice?
You know, that's the exact thing that Jason Light said about him as well, maybe even the same words. And sometimes you're reading those scouting reports and they'll say, you know, he has a bit of this and it can get him into trouble, but that's also what you're excited about him. Sure. As a matter of fact, in a couple of days, we're going to be putting on the website this long-form piece that we've been working on since January. And Jason Light, the GM, has been kind enough to give me inside access during that whole time. And I got to see some notes from him when they were trying to decide who to draft, and that's exactly what he was saying about him.
So I want to ask you this. As you have watched him in the minicamps, and I want to tell you he was here in the Cleveland area at the rookie symposium, yes. And he lit up the practice field with a bunch of little kids who were here for the Play 60 NFL camp, and he was absolutely fantastic with them. How are his teammates taking him?
He has a lot of charisma.
It's really, and that, it really exuded here.
Yeah, he has a lot of charisma. Now, I think, you know, all of his teammates are asked incessantly after practice, so how's James coming out? Is he a leader? What does he look like? And I think veterans, you know, they're a little slow to immediately anoint the new guy a leader. But I don't think it's anything but a matter of time until that's the case, because he just, like you said, he lights up a room.
Scott, my other question for you, and I'm going to shift to the other side of the ball, is we know there's Mike Evans and you've got Vincent Jackson, some very stable running backs behind Jameis Winston. But I think the Tampa Bay's best case to win football games is their defense. Now, they'll be in their second year with the Cover 2 defense with Lovie Smith there as the head football coach. Is there any other support for Gerald McCoy to rush the passer, and how does everything pan out with their ability to rush the passer in that Cover 2 scheme?
Well, I agree with you completely on your assessment on defense probably being our best shot to improve to a winning team this year. And yes, I do think there's plenty of help for Gerald McCoy. But that is the issue, and we have to prove it before it's true. But they tried. They clearly knew going to the draft they were going to use their second day picks on Jameis Winston and a couple of new offensive linemen that we desperately needed. So they weren't able to address that in the draft. So in free agency, they got George Young from the Lions. Actually, it was a trade for the end. And then added Henry Melton, who really last year, first of all, he became a star under Lovie Smith.
Yes, he did in Chicago.
Last year in Dallas, he was playing in the same kind of defense. He was still recovering from his 2013 knee injury, but he still gave him six sacks. And last year, the Buccaneers got more sacks out of their defensive tackles than any other team in the league. And then you had Henry Melton to that mix. The plan here, it seems, is just they made that part stronger, hoping that all that pressure from the middle will create more pass-rushing opportunities for the guys on the end who really do have to prove themselves. I mean, that was really George Johnson's first year. Jocky Smith showed some good things for us last year, but he's a former undrafted free agent. So these guys look like they have talent. Now they need some one-on-one pass-rushing opportunities, and I think that's what they're hoping to do with all these great defensive tackles.
You know, Scott, last week I thought I heard this on a report on satellite radio when I was driving around, that Mike Evans had come out and said that he had 68 catches last year. But if they had had a stable situation and a better performance from the quarterback position, he thought the sky would have been the limit for him. Now, having seen him play against the Browns last year, I'm raising my right hand if we were on TV. I agree with him on that. On that day, he scared the daylights out of me because I would have thrown the ball to him on every play. Number one, because of his physical tools, that he is so big and he can go up and get the ball. But tell me, how does that play there? And he just seems to be a great receiver in the NFL on the cusp.
Yeah, that was part of his just ridiculous November stretch. He had about four or five games in a row, including one of the Browns. Unfortunately, we didn't win that one, but he went off.
Yeah.
Like Odell Beckham style for about 5 weeks. And yeah, there's definitely no doubt that we consider this guy's limit for him as well. And I think his comments about how it could have been last year, while it's unfortunate to have to say, it's true. We really didn't get great play from a lot of the offense as a whole. The offensive line wasn't very effective last year, and that was probably our biggest problem. I know you guys got Josh McCown now, and I got to tell you, he's a wonderful guy.
I encourage fans, when training camp opens up, I think you're going to love this guy.
Yep.
But tell me this.
He's a great leader.
I'm sure you thought you guys and had hoped you were going to get the guy who had the really good run in Chicago when he took over for Jay Cutler, and it just didn't happen. Now, he got hurt, and then he came back in. But tell us a little bit about what we got here.
I'm hoping that you did get that guy. I really am. I mean, I don't know if that makes the Buccaneers look better or worse if Josh goes and has another great season for you guys, but that's what I'm hoping for him. And I think he definitely can do that.
Yeah.
We just really were unsettled. He said it, and he didn't say it till the end of the season, and he said it in a very politically correct way, but he said what everybody was thinking all season. We lost our offensive coordinator right before the season.
That's right, yeah.
And our play caller was, our quarterback's coach in his first year in the league, and he did the best that he could, but, he'd never called plays
right
before. And so it was not his fault. He was thrust in that situation, but it wasn't an ideal situation for anybody. And I'm sure that hurt Josh's chances, as did the injury, and as did really a very unsettled offensive line.
Scott, I'm going to ask you one of our we're actually, again, focusing on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers today, which is why we had you on the show. And one of our factor fiction questions is, Jameis Winston will throw more touchdowns than interceptions in 2015. And I'd like do you believe that's a fact or is that fiction?
I think that's a fact.
Fact. It's an easy fact for you?
Yeah, the interceptions were the on-field story for him last year at Florida State, right? I think about 18 of them. But there's a good number of those. You know as well as anybody else that not every interception is the quarterback's fault.
Correct.
Sure. But you did also correctly point out earlier that he's a bit of a gunslinger, and he's confident in his ability to get the ball in a tight window. So it would be not a very wise prediction to predict he's going to have, one of the lowest interception percentages in the league or anything like that. But I do believe with as potent of an offense that we have now, something like 25 to 30 touchdown passes would probably be, I would hope that would be more interceptions than he would throw.
Yeah. And that would be a heck of a year.
And Vincent Jackson, Mike Evans, and Myers at tight end don't hurt either.
That's what I'm saying. And I said potent offense, which obviously we didn't have one last year and we haven't proven it yet, but we do have what look like the pieces for a potent offense if the offensive line is significantly better than it was last year. Because Mike Evans, Vincent Jackson, people here are absolutely thrilled about our fifth-round pick, Kenny Bell, out of Nebraska. The receiver not only can he get deep, but he's got really good moves after the catch. We could have a nice little three receiver package there.
Tell me about the division. How do you size up where the Buccaneers are?
Well, that's the good news, right? I mean, our division winner last year was 7-9. So you wouldn't think
that's right.
It's hard to say. New Orleans has had so many changes. I mean, drastic changes with Jimmy Graham and all that. And they're difficult to predict to me. The Panthers. If you're talking about best-case scenario for us, that being they would be worse, their offensive line still seems unsettled to me, but that's a talented team, and I'm a Cam Newton believer. So, and then I think the Falcons are probably going to be better this year with the new coach. Dan Quinn's probably going to really turn that defense around, I'm guessing.
Scott, my last question for you, and this is a player on the defensive side, a linebacker there in Tampa Bay, who, as we scouted for our radio show to watch Tampa Bay, which I love doing, Lavonte David, he might be the most underrated linebacker who's going to get a significant payday right around the corner. Am I correct in saying this?
And well-deserved. I cannot imagine them letting Lavonte David get away. After his rookie season, I was sitting downstairs on the couch with some guys who had been here for a while, and we said, you can't call that guy Derek Brooks. But it had that feel. It's like this guy is going to be one of the best players we've ever had. And this was after one season. And then his second season was ridiculous. He's just – the reason I think that he's underrated, and I'm sure you guys know this as well, is when it comes to awards and Pro Bowls and so on, it's all the 3-4 pass-rushing linebackers that get all the attention. Lovie Smith commonly calls Lavonte the best 4-3 outside linebacker in the league, and I think he's right.
I want to tell you this. One of the real pleasures through the years is listening to a Tampa Bay Buccaneers game with the great voice of the Buccaneers, one of the all-time great play-by-play announcers, Gene Deckerhoff, who has been the voice of the Buccaneers, forever, right, Scott?
Since about 1989.
Wow. And here's the thing now. Imagine now, Gene would know Jameis Winston better than anybody because on Saturdays he calls the Florida State games,
Then
he goes and he does the Tampa Bay games on Sunday. But please extend a hello from us because he is one of the best in the business.
A great friend, and he always comes to camp to scout out the team, so I'll definitely do that, Jim.
Well, thanks so much for joining us. Good luck. We'll see you in the summer. We'll see you in a few weeks.
Yeah, it's game three, too, so it might actually be like a real game.
That's right.
That's right.
We'll see the real Jameis.
That's right. There you go. Scott, thanks very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Very interesting team.
Yes.
And Winston's going to be very, very interesting. And on the other side of the break, I want to ask you a little bit more about him because, you know, he's going to go into a situation where you're probably – I mean, they're going to take some losses.
Yes.
I did not enjoy watching him when they lost in the playoff game to Oregon.
Right.
And how he handled that.
Sure.
Okay. So, I mean, you know, and let's face it, he didn't lose a lot.
That's right. One time.
One time. And he was a little out of control that day when the game was slipping away. And how will he handle that? We'll talk about that and we'll talk about a lot more as we continue on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford here on ESPN 850 WKNR.